Hi, thank you for coming.
感谢大家今天来这里分享佛法。
Well, first of all, we're going to talk today. You know, the title of this talk is The Buddha Dharma in Daily Life. Some of you probably recognize that title because this is one of the free books, the free pamphlets that we distribute. They're all out there over against that wall in the main entryway there. This talk is about, it is going to be about the same stuff that's in this pamphlet, okay?
今天演讲的主题是日常生活中的佛法。大家有些人可能会对这个主题蛮熟悉的，因为师父写了一本跟大家结缘的一部小书，在这个知客处呢，你也可以看到中文、英文的都有。中文是叫日常生活中的佛法，所以今天主要讲的内容就是根据这部小书里面来讲的。
When I was looking at this pamphlet a while ago, I had the idea that it might actually be a good stepping stone for a Dharma talk, and so that's what I'm going to try to give you today.
不久以前呢，我看到这本小书。我看了以后呢，给我一个想法，就是这部书呢是一个非常好的跳脚石，用来跟大家结缘，跟大家一起讨论佛法。
Okay, so one thing I think you have to say about this topic is that it's important to everyone.
第一个最重要的要讲的今天的主题就是说，这个主题呢，我可以说对每一位修习佛法的人来说，都是一个非常重要的一个主题。
By that I mean everybody. We all have a daily life, don't we? Is there anybody here who doesn't have a daily life? It'd be an interesting person to talk to, if there was such a person.
我之所以认为这是非常重要的主题，主要是我想在座的每一位都有所谓的日常生活吧，是不是？只要有日常生活这样子的事情这今天的主题对你来说就是非常有用，就是一个非常重要的主题。
Even monastic people have a daily life of their own. Theirs is a little differentfrom the daily lives of non-monastics. They don't go out and deal with the real world in exactly the same way, or the ordinary reality in exactly the same way that non-monastics do. But nonetheless, they have a daily life, and many of the same kinds of vexations and problems and so on that we face when we go out into the world, they face in maybe slightly different ways, butObviously, these things come up. They come up for everyone.
即使是在家众，即使是出家的法师们，他们虽然在这个具体上的生活，跟在家众的生活可能有一些不一样，可是他们也有所谓的日常生活，也在日常生活中活着，即使就是这样子，他们所面临的一些问题呢，也许跟在家中的所面临的问题也有些不一样，可是他们还是会面临一些在日常生活中所碰到的一些难题。
Now we are going to focus, and this the pamphlet focuses on non-monastic people, lay people dealing with.The real world, with problems of family, problems of career, various problems of that sort.
那今天呢，所谓的日常生活中的佛法，我们的内容是针对在家的居士怎么样在生活中跟家人相处，怎么样在工作上跟自己的同事相处。
I think all of us understand that the world, if we're at all sensitive to these things, we all know that this modern world that we all live in can be very stressful and very difficult in at least some of the time.
当讲到这个在家中的面对的日常生活中的一切所有的人事物之中呢，我们就可以在对于现代人的这个生活来说呢，这个压力其实是蛮大的在日常生活中所面临的一些压力上面跟人怎么应对做事怎么做，这些上都是一些给我们会带一些压力。
So does Buddhism have anything to say that might help us with these difficulties that arise in our lives? Well, of course it does. We all know that. If we didn't believe that Buddhism would help us in some way, we probably wouldn't bother listening to Dharma talks in the first place.
那这个佛法对于我们这日常生活中所面对的这些压力到底有没有关系，或者是有没有什么帮助呢？当然是有帮助的。如果佛法对我们日常生活所面临一些困扰压力没有帮助的话，那在座的各位就可能不会来这里听佛法。
Okay, so let's get started. Now what is this funny looking word, Buddha Dharma? What is Buddha Dharma? I think most of you have some idea of what it is, but in case you don't, the word Buddha Dharma refers to the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, who, as most of you know, was the historical Buddha for this historical era.
那现在我们开始讲今天的主题，先要提到的是佛法这个名词。在座的可能有一些人知道，可是有些人不知道。佛法定义是释迦牟尼佛所说的法。那释迦牟尼佛是我们这个娑婆世界这个时段的历史佛。
And what was Shakyamuni's purpose in presenting these teachings?Well, most of us know, if you know the story of Shakyamuni's life, his basic purpose was to help all sentient beings to overcome suffering and attain happiness in their lives.
那佛说法的目的到底是什么呢？佛说法的目的就是要教我们所有的众生离苦得乐。
Now, those of you who have studied the Buddha Dharma know that it can be a very, very profound philosophy, and it actually explains all aspects of human experience. Now, think of that for a second. It explains all aspects of human experience. Whoa, right? That's pretty big, right? Okay. But that is, in fact, what Buddha Dharma attempts to do.Maybe some people think the explanation isn't 100% accurate. Of course, I understand that not everybody is a Buddhist, but the teachings themselves really do try to explain everything in that sense.
佛法它教我们，当我们去研究佛法的时候，或是学习佛法的时候呢，我们会发现里面有很深的一些哲理同时呢也涵盖了所有我们众生所面临的各种不同的经验听起来好像是不可思议，可是事实上佛法真的就是接触到所有众生所面临的经验，同时对这些经验做一个正确的解释。
Well, given the scope of the project, it's not surprising that a very large literature exists that describes the Buddha Dharma. Most of you know about this too. There's a tremendously large literature about Buddhism in many different languages. Also, this literature can sometimes be complex and difficult to understand. It's difficult to understand sometimes without very serious study. And actually, to really come to understand Buddhism, it's more than just studying it intellectually. As everyone knows, you also have to practice Buddhism in the sense of trying to live your life in a certain way and trying to do certain kinds of spiritual practices, meditation practices or others, which can help you down the path to a real understanding, a full understanding of the Buddha Dharma.
因为是这样子，佛法，佛教导，佛法里面涵盖了非常，就是所有我们众生所面临的一切，的一些经验，做一个正确的解释。所以，因为是这样子，我们知道佛法是非常的深广，它的这个就是所有的著作。所有的经典涵盖起来是非常的浩瀚，同时佛也说，不只是要很是就是深入的研究，同时要运用自己所了解到的佛法，运用在自己的日常生活中，这样子的话呢，才能够经由修行得到佛法的利益，才能够最后离苦得乐。
You may hear some people who study Buddhism occasionally say that it's not important to try to understand Buddhism on the intellectual level. Our teacher here, Shifu, Master Sheng Yen, did not agree with that assertion. He was a person who tried to get us always to, you know, get at least a rudimentary understanding on the intellectual level of what Buddhism is trying to do.
有些人会以为，在研究佛法的时候，对这个经典的这个理论上呢，不需要花太多的时间去了解。可是我们的师父圣严法师认为，在这个理论上也要花功夫去深入的了解它。
That having been said, Shifu also always made the point that the really most important thing is to incorporate the Buddhist teachings into our lives so that we can live in a manner that doesn't create suffering for us or for other people.
师父同时说，不但是要在理论上对佛法深入的了解，同时也要更重要的是把这个理论用到自己的日常生活上，这样子才能够彻底的实践自己所了解的佛法，然后呢得到真正的佛法的利益，能够离苦得乐。
If you know the story of Shakyamuni's life, you know that he left home and went on the spiritual quest, which ended in his enlightenment. He did that because he came to fully understand the real suffering that exists in the world, and it shocked him when he learned about it, and he decided that he was going to try to find a way to overcome the problems that cause this kind of suffering for human beings and other sentient beings in the world. And the good news is, Buddhism is a good news religion. The good news is he found a way to do it. He solved the problem eventually and then spent 49 years teaching the methods that he discovered. And those methods are the Buddha Dharma that we still talk about today.
我们也知道佛当初离开他的家人就是因为要寻找一个解脱苦的方法。那他经过一段时间，终于成佛，然后找到了怎么样离苦得乐的方法，然后花了49年的时间教导所有 当时他能够跟他有缘的众生教导他们如何从佛法当中得到解脱苦而得乐的方法。所以这是一个佛法带给我们非常好的一个讯息，让我们能够经由修学佛法当下能够解脱自己，也解脱其他人的痛苦，同时也能够得到真正的快乐。
Now after his enlightenment, in his very first sermon, Shakyamuni presented a teaching which really does express the core of his philosophy about this problem of suffering. And that teaching is the teaching of the Four Noble Truths, which many of you have heard of.
当佛成道以后呢，他所悟到的也是佛法的一个最重要的核心，那就是佛所说的四圣谛。
This pamphlet, this is one of our free pamphlets out there too. It's called Setting in Motion the Dharma Wheel. That title refers to the way that Buddhists traditionally refer to the actual presentation of this first sermon by the Buddha is called the first turning of the Dharma wheel. What that means is this is where the Dharma got started in this historical era. Now, this pamphlet is free. It's out there. I don't know if we have enough copies for everybody now, but if you haven't read this pamphlet, it's by Shifu. It presents his interpretation of the Four Noble Truths, his explanation of it. It's incredibly valuable. If you're at all interested in Buddhism, you cannot spend your time doing anything better than this. Okay? This is really something you should all try to learn and understand if you're interested in Buddhism.
讲到四圣谛，师父也写了一部跟大家结缘的小书。那中文的名字我不晓得，英文是叫 Setting in Motion the Dharma Wheel。这个是佛第一次转法轮所说的法，就是苦集灭道四圣谛。
So if you can't pick one, if we don't have enough of these for everybody today, next time you come to the center, they'll order more and so on. You'll be able to get this eventually. Just look for it over there every time you come into the center. And, you know, it's free. This is free, okay? And it's worth it.
再说，欢迎大家。
Yeah, right, money back guarantee.
这是一本结缘的小书。是免费的，所以如果大家对四圣谛有兴趣的话，欢迎大家在知客处前面呢去取。
Okay, well, all right. So, Shifu, in this pamphlet, also bases his discussion on the idea of the Four Noble Truths, the idea of suffering and how to overcome suffering in human life.So what are the Four Noble Truths? Let's talk about them. The first truth is an assertion that our experience in this world, human experience, is characterized by a certain unsatisfactoriness. That's, I think, the best way to think about it, which is called dukkha in Sanskrit. And is usually translated in English as suffering.You have probably heard the English assertion, the Buddha teaches that human experience is characterized by suffering. Okay, that's an English word, remember that. And it's not a perfect translation of the word dukkha. So to really understand what the Buddha is driving at, you should try to understand what it means, what dukkha means, which we'll talk about in a minute.
那现在稍微讲一下这个四圣谛里面的内容。第一圣谛就是苦谛。苦谛佛说我们人生所各种经历的可以用这个字 这个梵文的字叫做 dukkha 来形容我们所有人生所经历的各种经验，他用 dukkha。 那 dukkha 他这个梵文直接翻译成英文叫做苦，事实上这个是一个并不是非常理想的翻译。 dukkha 它本身它的这个梵文的意思有包括好像是就是不太满意，就是总是觉得不太对这样子的一种这种感觉。这个是所以你真正的要了解这个苦地必须要对这个梵文这个字 dukkha 要做进一步的了解。
Okay, this unsatisfactoriness, what you need to understand about the word dukkha is that it's not an assertion that nobody ever has a good time in life. When the Buddha says human experience is characterized by dukkha, he's not saying you walk through the world feeling as if you're having a root canal 100% of the time. It's not that negative, but it sort of sounds like it might be that negative in English, right? So I want to stress this, that if you really understand what dukkha means, you'll know that it's not making that kind of crazily extreme negative statement about human life.
要再深入的解释一下佛所说的这个苦地，也是梵文所说的 dukkha， 并不是说我们人生经历里面好像都没有快乐的时光，好像就是我们就是牙疼，就是有这种那个好像有牙疼，这个疼呢就一直这个所有的这个我们的一生就是这样一直有牙疼的这种经验，一点这个快乐的这个时光都没有，并不是这样子。可是如果你对这个苦地有深入的了解以后呢，你就可以了解到佛所说的所谓的这个 dukkha 它的这个苦地到底是包括是怎么样来解释这个人生的经历。
All right, now, that having been said, dukkha does include those aspects of life that are bad and that everybody would think are bad. They're like three levels of dukkha, okay? Three levels of dukkha. One level is called dukkha of dukkha. That's the suffering of suffering. And that refers to those aspects of life that everybody would agree are unpleasant, to say the least. The fact that you're going to get old, aging, the fact that you are going to be subject to disease in life, right? Nobody gets through the world without ever being sick, you know? Nobody, you will get old, and that's the good result, right? Right? You know, if you don't get old, that means you died young, right? That's the only thing it means. So you're going to get old, you're going to get sick, and you're going to die. That aging, disease, and death are part of life, and they are an example of dukkha, the dukkha nature of our experience, because most of us would prefer not to get old, not to get sick, and not die, okay, but we will. So that means that life is unsatisfactory in a certain sense for us, right? We're not getting exactly what we want.
那在对这个苦或是这个 dukkha 来做更深入的来解释，这个苦呢可以分成三种层次。第一个层次的苦叫苦苦，那苦苦呢它的内容呢包括大家，也就是说这个定义苦苦的定义是说所有在这个世间里活着的人都同意这个现象是苦的，比如说老、病、死这三个现象，人生的经历，我们所有的人大家都同意这三种现象，人生的经历是苦的经历，因为我们都不愿意所有的人大部分的人都是不愿意变老了，也不愿意有各种病痛，也不愿意最后自己会面临死亡，因为是这样子，所以呢把这三种这个人生的经历列在苦苦这一个层次上。
All right, but as I said earlier, Buddhism understands that we don't experience life all the time with the level of negativity that we feel when we think about dying or being sick and so on. Life isn't always that bad. In fact, almost everybody has a good time sometimes, and even Buddhists. In fact, I think if you get serious about your practice of Buddhism, you're going to have more fun in life, not less. Okay, your life will actually be more joyful, more fun, if you can get a good Buddhist practice going. So don't think that because there's an emphasis on this unsatisfactoriness that it's pessimistic. It's not. It's actually very optimistic. But now, what can we say about these good times that we have? Let's say that, you know, you go out with some friends to dinner, and you have a wonderful dinner, and everybody's very friendly and happy together, and everybody's talking. Then you go to a play or something, and it's a wonderful play. Everybody loves it. And then everybody goes home, and nobody's fighting with their spouse, right, and so on. Well, that's a pretty good day, right? That's a pretty good evening, right? And most of us would experience all that as being fun. This is good. This, you know, we don't think of this as being horrible. We don't think of it as being terrible. But we recognize that it's not permanent, right? This is called the dukkha of change, suffering of change, or suffering of impermanence, okay? Very important to remember that Buddhism always understands that our human experience, everything that we experience, every experience we have is impermanent. Things are always changing. They don't last forever. If you look around at the world, I'm sure you'll understand what that's about. Of course, things are changing all the time. So we can have a good time. We can have a lot of fun, but somewhere in the back of our mind, we understand this isn't going to last forever. And it's that understanding that makes this experience somewhat less than satisfactory for us. Because we'd like it to last forever, wouldn't you? Be honest, of course you would. I would feel a little happier about things if I thought this was going to last forever. Wouldn't you? Sure. But it's not. So what do we know? We know this is the unsatisfactoriness that's caused by impermanence.
第二个层次的苦呢，就跟刚刚我们提到了，就是说，事实上所谓的佛所说的这个苦地，并不是我们没有尝到一些乐的经验，就是人生里面我们也经历了一些快乐的时光，比如说我们跟朋友出去吃饭。 然后去看戏，完了以后呢，回到家跟自己的家人和睦的，也没有吵架，这样子的情况呢，我们其实可以定义说，哎，我们今天好像过得还蛮快乐的，没有什么苦，那为什么这个又列在这个苦的层次上面呢？是因为当我们在经验到这种快乐时光的时候呢，一般的人就希望能够一直 快乐下去而不改变它，那事实上我们都知道，这个所有的事情都是无常的，不可能一直不变的。所以是因为是无常的，因为这个快乐的时光呢过去以后就没有了，那我们就希望它不要变，是因为这样子的一种期望而又不能够达到，所以佛就定义这个。 这个也是在这个苦的层次里面，因为我们就对这种现象，对这无常能够，就是说这种美好时光不能够永远存在的这种现象呢，感到不满意。所以呢，这是第二个层次的苦。
Alrighty, now the third level of dukkha that's talked about is called pervasive dukkha. Now, this is really referring to just a sort of underlying sense of unsatisfactoriness that almost all human beings have when they stop to think about the way life is. Buddhism talks about where this comes from in terms of human psychology. What it comes down to really is that where our minds are always reaching out and trying to find a solution to this sense of unsatisfactoriness that we have, but our minds are always being thwarted. We never succeed in this. We do it all the time, but it never actually gives us the long-lasting and all-encompassing sense of satisfactoriness that we're looking for. I don't want to get in too deeply today. We won't have time, really, about how the psychology works. But basically what it comes down to is our minds are reaching out and trying to grab things, which they can't really grab, which can't really be grabbed, or we're reaching out to try to push away things that have arrived in our lives that we don't like, but which also cannot be really pushed away, right? In both cases, we end up being frustrated. We want something that we can't get, or we want to get rid of something that we can't get rid of. Result, a sense of unsatisfactoriness. I wish life were a little bit different from that.
第三个层次的苦呢？是针对一种就是普遍的对这一些人生的这些经验呢，就是总是一种想要寻求一种解决的一种这种欲望，对于这个所面临的各种的人生的经历呢好的呢，希望就是想尽的办法怎么样能够一直保持下去，那不好的经验呢希望能够不要再发生在自己的身上，就是所以自己的这种心理上的这种需求，这种心理上的这种欲望，希望所有自己所面临的各种人生的经验呢都是只有是好的，不好的就不要再临到自己的身上，像这样子的一种这种寻求心理上的一种虚妄哈，这种需求呢不能够得到满足所以这是第三种层次的苦。
All right, well, that's a lot of info, but that's the essence of this basic idea of dukkha in Buddhism. There's a certain unsatisfactoriness about life. Sometimes it's very severe when we're looking at something that's very bad.Other times it's not so severe, but it's still sort of there when you look around for it. All right, now the second truth tells us what the cause of this dukkha is. The first truth is dukkha. Second truth, where dukkha comes from. The answer to that is, well, in the original text, the Buddha says the cause of suffering is desire.That's the thing that he picks out. This actually is one of a larger group of mental attitudes, mental states, which are unhealthy mental states, which are called vexations in English here. The Sanskrit for that is klesa, K-L-E-S-A. So...The cause of dukkha is these mental states, these klesas, these negative mental states, which we call vexations here. That's part of the cause of dukkha. Now, the other thing you need to understand, which we'll talk about more in a minute, in order to understand the cause of dukkha, is you have to know about karma, the law of karma and rebirth that is part of the Buddhist teachings. We'll talk about that in a minute.
那就是我们刚刚提到的这三个层次的苦呢，有的人是经历是非常的这个严重，他的人生的经历是真的是非常非常的苦。那有的人呢，所经历的呢，就稍微不会这么严重，这样子就是的苦，就是在这个轻重来讲有分别那第二个要讲的第二圣地。这是造成苦的原因。那第二圣地就是极地。那极地就佛说我们造成我们苦的原因，他用的一个字就是跟欲有关系，跟欲望有关系。那 在这，也就是说这个欲呢跟我们的这个就是我们的这个态度，对人生的态度，还有我们这个心对心理的一种对人生的态度，还有一种我们所我们的心象当下的这个这个情况是什么，当面临因为我们的这个精神情况或是心理的情况在一个程度所面到的一些事情所处理的方式不同，所造的这个结果也就会不同。这个就是极地，也就是解释我们为什么会有苦的原因。
Okay, now what's the third truth? We've identified a problem with human experience, which is this dukkha problem. We've also identified, well, we haven't done it, Buddha did it for us, but anyway, he's identified the cause, which is these negative mental states, these vexations that arise in our minds. So the third noble truth says that it is possible to overcome dukkha. This is why it's a good news philosophy.
那第三个圣地呢是灭地，主要讲的就是说可以解除这些我们所受到的这些苦呢，有一个办法可以灭掉它。
Well, what's the method for doing this? How do we overcome it? Well, Shifu once said to me, this is one of my memories of him that's most deeply ingrained. I never forgot it. He looked at me once and said, look, all we're trying to do here is get rid of vexations. Well, that's right. Now, how is that right? Well, what's the cause of dukkha? Vexation, right? You want to get rid of dukkha? That tells you how to do it. Try to learn to control these negative mental states. Try to train yourself so that as you go through the world, you don't cause these vexations to arise within yourself. Okay?
那就是用什么方法能够让我们能够灭掉苦呢？那所谓的苦呢，也就是我们因为欲得到的一些烦恼，经由欲望得到的一些烦恼。那解决这个就是苦的方法，就是用经由这些佛法的方法能够灭掉这个，让我们断掉烦恼啊。这个就是第四谛，就是苦集灭道，这个道谛所要教我们的就是怎么样让我们断烦恼的一些方法。
All right, well, how do you do that? That's what the fourth noble truth is all about. The fourth noble truth is called the Noble Eightfold Path, and it basically describes a way of life that if you can follow, if you can incorporate that teaching into your own experience, you will be able to overcome dukkha. The dukkha problem will have been solved.
那这个方法里面讲的这个佛说的第四谛，就是用八圣道这八圣道里面讲的这些方法彻底的用到，那我们就可以断除烦恼。
So the Buddha is really a very great teacher, isn't he? He identified a problem, but he didn't stop there. He then identified the cause of the problem.And once he had done that, he was able to set forth a way to solve the problem. Okay? I remember when I was working as a young lawyer, some of the crusty old partners would say things like, don't come to me with a problem unless you have the solution. This made my life much worse than it would have been otherwise, I thought.So don't just come in here and tell me there's a problem unless you know the solution to the problem, right? But that's what the Buddha did for all of us, right? Okay? He gave us the solution as well as the problem. He told us what the problem is and he gave us the solution.
所以我们可以看到就是佛真的是一位非常好的老师，他不但指出这个我们人生经历的各种的苦，也教我们怎么样啊、也指出来造成我们受苦的原因，同时也教我们怎么样能够断除这个烦恼的一些方法。所以他是一个非常非常好的老师，如果我们能够学着佛所教我们的这些方法呢，我们就能够离苦离烦恼而得快乐。这个让我想到我很多年以前，当我是一个年轻的律师，在我跟我的一些上司，他在互动的时候，我的上司常常会跟我说，不要过来就是只把问题指出来，你要来跟我讨论的时候呢，不但是指出问题，同时你要告诉我怎么解决这个问题的方法，不要就是来这里埋怨这些问题这么多这么多，如果没有解决的方法的话，不要来浪费我的时间。
Okay, now yeah, to illustrate the workings of the Four Noble Truths, how does this actually work? Well, Shifu uses as an example in this, he uses as an example quarrels that can developbetween people, between married couples.
那来就是用什么一些例子来指出这个四圣地里面的内容。师父用一个例子用一个就是夫妻之间吵架作为一个例子来指出这个四圣地的争议。
Now, I think everybody will agree that almost everybody who's in a marriage or a long-term relationship, they almost always have quarrels, at least some of the time, right? I mean, you know, it's very, I mean, maybe you guys are better practitioners than I am, but I think that for most, you know, the great majority of people, you know, a little quarreling goes on, even in strong relationships.Well, anyway, how does this happen? How does this work? Well, how do quarrels get started? Let's use this as an example. Let's suppose that a wife makes a comment to her husband. Now, her husband takes this comment to be a personal criticism.
用这个夫妻吵架作为一个例子来指出这么如何就是这个四圣地里面的内容是怎么样怎的内容是如何利用这个佛法的方法来点出这个我们日常生活的一些面临的问题。比如说当夫妻吵架，用一个例子那这个太太讲了一些这个对她的先生做了一些这个评论那这个先生听了以后呢，认为说这个太太在批评他。
All right, now the husband's initial response in his own mind is a sort of negative sensation that is triggered.By the comment which he has interpreted as a personal criticism. Okay? This is what we call in Buddhism a sensation, is the English word that's used. And most of what we do during the day in our minds is we react to sensations that are arising in our minds because of.The experiences that are coming into us through our sense organs. This comment came into this guy's mind through his ears, let's say. It was he interpreted it perhaps inaccurately, but in any event, it seemed to him to be a criticism. And as soon as that happened, a sort of negative feeling arose in his mind, right? That's a negative sensation. He got a little miffed.
比如说这个太太对他的这个先生说了一句话，就是那这个先生这句话听到他耳朵里面以后呢，他就产生一种身心上一些反应，那他的反应就觉得说是一种负面的反应，因为他就是因为这个话进去他的这个脑筋里面以后呢，在身体心理上做了一个对这句话听进去的一个反应。
Now, if the husband is not being mindful, we'll talk about what that means a little bit more later, but I mean, basically, one of the eight branches of the Eightfold Path is right mindfulness. It's in some ways the most important. We should all be going through the world trying to be mindful of what's actually happening in our own minds. So,Now, this husband may not have been being mindful. He just heard this comment, negative, he had a negative response to it. And so he right away, almost reflexively, made a comment back at his wife. Let's say that he then criticizes his wife in response. Oh, you're always saying these bad things about me, blah, 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 right?
那这个先生听到他太太对他的这个说的这个一句话，他把他当成他听进去以后呢，产生一种负面的这种身心的一种反应，认为他的太太在批评他。那在这个时候呢，如果这个先生呢，如果没有所谓这个修行这些这个定力的话，没有这种对自己的身心有一种定的功夫能够观察到的话，他可能就会因为听进去这句他自己认为是一种负面的一种批评，那直觉的他就会做了一个反应，那他可能会就在又会回说，就会又说出一些对于他太太一些批评的话，比如说你总是这样子批评我，你每次都是这样子对我说的这个不好，认为我不好怎么样怎么样，所以这个两个人之间就开始吵架所以这个修定其实这个八圣道里面提到了一个正定这一道是非常其实是非常非常的重要的一种修行的功夫，就是因为我们如果在日常生活中没有这样子对自己身心作为很深入的一种就是有定力的功夫，能够察觉到自己身心的一种反应的话，往往我们就会因为不知道而做出一些伤害自己伤害他人的一些行为。
All right, so now the wife has a negative sensation arising in her mind. And if she's not being mindful, she might then raise the stakes and retaliate against her husband again. And you can see what's going to start. The husband might then, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then, and before you know it, a full-scale quarrel has broken out.
那由这个从这个太太这一边来说呢，如果这个太太也没有修这个八圣道里面的这个定正定的话呢，那她听到这个太太听到她的先生说就是对她批评的这些话以后呢，她又对这些话又做了直觉的反应，然后这两个人就你说这一句我说这一句就来来去去就整个这个吵架，大家就是开始吵起来了，这就是真的一个来来往往的这样子一直吵来吵去。
So what do the Four Noble Truths tell us about how quarrels like this get started and how to avoid them?
那么从这个四圣谛的这个 方向来看这件事情啊、那到底是他们这个所谓的吵架是怎么样发生的呢？
Well, did the wife cause the quarrel because of what she said, that first statement she made? Did the wife cause it? Well, on one level, you might say that she did, inasmuch as her comment irritated her husband, and his irritation led him to respond angrily.
我们可以说这个是这个太太所造成的这个整个他们吵架的这个原因吗？是不是因为她当初说了一句这个批评她先生的话而造成的这个她先生非常生气那么说这个是她这个太太是她的错吗？
But was she at fault?From the example I've given, we can't say for sure because we don't know whether the husband's response was really appropriate. Maybe the husband is overly sensitive and has interpreted some really innocent comment as a personal attack and is responding as if it were that.
真的是说是太太所说的这句话而造成这个吵架的这个是他的错吗？这很难说，也许他太太说对这个先生所说的一句就是并就是很就是很并没有说要批评他先生可是他的先生非常对他自己的这个对这句话听的是非常的他非常是一个敏感的一个人，所以他认为这句话他太太讲的对他来讲是一个批评他的一句话，可是对这个太太来讲他并没有这个要批评他太啊先生的这个意思，所以有的时候很难认定到底是太太的错呢还是先生的错。
Now one branch of the eightfold path, as you probably know, is right speech, one of the eight aspects of the Eightfold Path is called right speech. This refers to basically the same thing that the precept, we have a precept about speech that we're supposed to take, right? And this is referring to the same thing. Certain types of speech, false speech or lying, divisive speech, you know, speech that, you know, causes people to dislike each other,harsh speech, you know, when you're yelling at somebody or putting them down, and also idle chatter, of all things, one of my weaknesses. All of these types of speech are considered to be, inappropriate from the Buddhist perspective in most cases. So, and we take a precept about them. Of course, though, what this means is that if the wife did say something purposefully nasty to her husband, then you could say, well, yeah, she's definitely at least partially at fault for this argument, because she shouldn't be doing that. She's violating a precept, and, you know, that's not right speech. If she were practicing right speech, she wouldn't make a comment like that.
那讲到这个人与人之间沟通呢，这个八圣道里面提到的赠与，那赠与里面呢，其实跟我们的这个我们就是持戒这个戒律里面也提到所谓的什么叫做赠与，那赠与就是相反的来说呢，就是什么叫不是赠与呢？就是说谎或是绮语，或者是两舌，或是说一些这个尖刻的这些语言，这些呢，如果他的太太当时说的这个话里面的内容有这些这个成分在的话呢，那你可以说这个太太呢就可能是违反了这个所谓佛法里面所说的这个在赠与里面的一些戒律里面，他可能就违反到了。那从这个观点来看呢，如果他说他这个先生批评先生里面有任何这一种负面上的这种 这种成分的话，那可能一部分对，就是这个太太来说，一部分是她的错。
Well, what about the husband? When he first heard his wife's comment, it struck him as being hurtful or unfair to him in some way, and he responded in kind. Now, from the Buddhist perspective, this was a mistake on his part, whether or not his wife's comment had been intentionally hurtful.
那从这个先生的角度来看呢，如果这个先生的角度他听到了这句话，认为是说对他来讲是不公平的一种批判，或者是一种伤害他的这种批判，那他做了这种直接的反应。那从这个佛法的角度来说呢，他也是有错。
Now this seems unusual to many to many people, this Buddhist view. Many people in the modern world believe that if someone says something bad to us, we have a right to retaliate. Why are you saying bad things about your sister? She said bad things about me. Right? And for many people, that's considered to be a justification, right? You know, she said something bad about me, so I can say something bad about her. Buddhism would say that it's still a mistake to say something bad about her, even if she said something bad about you. It's still a mistake.
对一般人不是佛教徒来看这件事情的话呢，会觉得说，如果有人对我做不公平或是非常苛刻的批评来讲的话呢，我当然有权利来反驳他，然后报复他，这个是理所当然的事情。可是对于一个佛教徒来说，对于从佛法的观点来看呢，这是一个我们不认为是一个正确的一种处理的方法。
This is because the anger that leads us to retaliate is itself a vexation. Right? Now remember,Vexation is the ultimate cause of the suffering that's in the world. And our task as Buddhist practitioners is to try to learn to control our minds so that vexations don't arise in our minds, or a little bit, if we're not that great a practitioner, or at least get to the point where we're mindful enough so that when we notice that vexations have arisen in our mind, we don't lash out at other people because of that. We can control that.
为什么佛法认为报复即使是理所当然，对一般的这个众生认为是理所当然的这个行为呢？我们就是佛教徒从佛法的观点来看是不理想的呢？是因为当有人对我们做一些我们自己认为不理想的一些不合理的批评，而我们产生了这种嗔念的话，那当下我们自己就起烦恼了。那佛法所有的目标呢？就是最终的目的是让我们教我们如何能够消除自己的烦恼。那起了嗔念了以后呢，如果对这个嗔的这种身心的做了嗔这做了这个不正确的这个反应，那只是更加深自己的烦恼。从这个观点来看呢，所以一般人认为理所当然的这种报复的行为，佛法上来讲是佛家来讲是不鼓励的。那同时所谓的嗔是我们所谓的这个三毒中这个贪嗔痴里面的一毒，那佛教讲的就是要教我们如何能够消除这个三嗔痴贪嗔痴三毒。所以任何的方法如果是我们真的是修行佛法以后呢，如果到一个程度的时候呢，能够对我们自己的起心动念能够有深入的观察，当我们的这嗔念起的时候呢，当下我们就能够马上知道不做反应，不做任何伤害自己伤害他人的反应，这个就是正确的修行方法。
Now, anger is in fact one of the three biggest types of vexation. There are three: anger, which is also called aversion, or any time something arises in our minds, a feeling arises in our minds that we really don't like something, that we would really want to push something away. Get out, go away, I hate this feeling, get rid of it. Any time our mind is feeling that way, it's this anger, aversion, vexation that we're dealing with. That's one. Now, another of the really big ones is greed, which is sort of the opposite of anger. Greed, or grasping, it's the idea that something pleasurable has arisen in our lives and we want to pull it in. We want to hold on to it. I want to hold this. Oh, give me more, give me more, give me more. That feeling is also a vexation. Now, the third of the biggest ones is ignorance, which is basically just the sort of confusion that we feel about things most of the time. Ignorance ultimately really is the primary source of all of our vexation. It comes from the fact that we are ignorant. What are we ignorant of? We are ignorant of the way the world really works. We are ignorant of the Buddha Dharma. And that ignorance causes us to make mistakes, which causes us to get into trouble. Now, each of these three, greed, anger, ignorance, they're referred to as the three poisons, okay? The three poisons. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Vexations are poison, even if they're justified. Okay, this is a very important point about the Buddhist idea. Somebody attacked you, and the person attacked you, you have every, according to average person, you have every right to be angry. Buddhism would say, well, why do you want to take poison? You get angry, that's just like drinking poison. Do you think that the guy attacked you, and so you're going to say, okay, I'll show you, and you drink a bottle of poison? How does that show him anything? That hurts you. It doesn't hurt him. Did you understand? That's the Buddhist attitude. Allowing the anger to take over your own mind is poisoning your own spiritual self. Okay? That's why you don't really ever want to allow anger to take over.
那现在对这个佛法里面所提到这个烦恼的这个原因，有三种啊，就是制造烦恼的一种原因。第一个就是贪，第二个嗔，第三个是痴。那贪欲呢，就是贪，就是对自己喜欢的东西呢一直想要一再再而再的得到它。那因为得不到它，那就一直是想尽的办法去希望能够得到更多自己喜欢的，这就是一种贪。那嗔呢，就是对于不喜欢的东西，或是对一些发生自己发生在自己身上不顺利的东西呢，经历呢，就产生一种负面的一种身心的反应，就是一直想要是不好的东西呢，想尽的办法去推掉它这是一个然后一些自己认为不公平的一些事情发生在自己身上呢，会产生的是一种生气或是负面的一种身心的反应。那痴呢，就是对于这个世间的一些真正的这个道理不是很正确的了解，然后对佛法也不了解，所以这三件这个贪嗔痴是造成这所有众生烦恼的三种原因。那为什么佛法不教就是不赞成我们对于这个一般人认为觉得是合理的事情，我们佛法上不认为是一种一种正确的解决方式。比如说有人对你做不公平的批评，那在一般的世俗上来讲 去就是做这个直觉的这种反应，或者是一种报复，这种是即使是一般世间认为理所当然的事情，佛法也不鼓励一般的佛教徒这样子做，是因为这种嗔念产生了以后呢，是佛法用一种用毒这个字来形容，这个嗔是一种毒，贪嗔痴这是三毒。那嗔念起的时候呢，好像是说自己喝这个毒药，然后呢希望这个对方能然后对付对方，是就是说比如说人家批评你说一句你不喜欢听的话，那你对付他的方法呢就是喝毒药，也就是说起了这个嗔念，就等于是像自己喝了毒药来解决这种事情。对，其实也就是说对你来讲其实是一种更深的伤害，因为你起了嗔念。所以佛法的方法就是教我们如何能够消除这个贪嗔痴经由消除贪嗔痴，慢慢我们的烦恼就一点一点的会消除，才会真的面临事情的时候呢，能够有一种正确的生理和心理的一些态度来处理它。
So how can we avoid becoming angry? Well, to explain this, Shifu in the pamphlet refers to another branch of the Noble Eightfold Path, the first branch, which is called Right View.
那怎么样能够来帮助我们这个消除这些三毒呢？那师父在他的这个书里面提到的八圣道里面的第一道就是正见。
Now this is the basic idea that we must have a proper understanding of reality, that is to say a proper understanding of Buddha Dharma, before we can overcome suffering.
那这个正见里面所提到的就是说让我们怎么样能够正确的对这个真理有正确的了解，然后也就是说怎么样能够正确的了解佛法。
Specifically, the Buddhist view of reality includes the law of karma and rebirth, which we mentioned earlier.
这个佛法里面所说的这个正确的正见呢，是对于这个业还有这个报有正确的了解。
All of us, since beginningless time, have wandered in samsara through an infinite, almost infinite number of lifetimes, creating both good and bad karma.
我们所有的众生呢，从无始以来呢，都造了好的和不好的业。
Good karma tends to bring rewards. If you do something good right now in your life, that will in fact increase at least slightly the likelihood that good things will come to you in the future, either in this lifetime or in some future lifetime. By the same token, if you do bad things right now, that will tend to increase the likelihood that bad things will come to you in the future.
这个好的这个行为，当我们做了好事这个就会得到好报。那同样的，做了不好的事情，这个它的结果就是不好的。
All right, therefore, if we accept this idea, it's important that we stop engaging in unwholesome acts.Because we do not want to create bad karma for ourselves.
但我们如果了解这个所谓的这个业果的关系呢，这个因果的关系呢，那我们就知道要真的是很努力的去制造一些善业。
That's why the Eightfold Path includes right action, right speech, right livelihood, these are all assertions that are similar to what we do when we take the precepts. You know, we want to avoid karmically negative actions of various types.
因为这样，所以八圣道里面提到了一些正业、正语、正见，这些方法都是教我们如何能够不去造恶业，而广修善业。
Now, moreover, when bad things happen to us, what should we do? Bad thing happens to you. What should you do about it? Well, the Buddhist answer is that we should accept it. Now, what does that mean? That means that we don't allow the fact that a bad thing has happened to us to cause vexation, right? We just say, well, a bad thing. This kind of thing happens in life. I'm not going to get upset about it. I know, you know, think bad things happen. It happens sometimes. Don't get upset, though.
那进一步的说呢，就是说当不好的事情发生在我们身上的时候呢，我们应该用什么样正确的态度来处理它呢？那正确的态度就是说要接受它，因为不好的事情发生在我们身上呢，如果我们不接受它的话，而再造了身心上的一些做出一些负面的一些行为的话，那就是对自己制造更多的烦恼。
Now we should also try to have a corresponding attitude when good things happen to us. Remember, desiring more of something is a type of vexation too. So what this means is that we don't want to get overly excited when good things happen to us. Good things might happen to you. Let's say you win the lottery. It's possible, right? Wow, all of a sudden I've got a big pile of money. Wow, I guess all my money problems are solved, at least for now, right? The last time they were talking so much about that really big lottery that was on TV, I saw on one TV station, they did a survey of lottery winners and something like 40% of the people who had won the lottery were bankrupt within 3 years after winning. Isn't that weird? I mean, it's kind of strange. I guess they just don't know how to handle money. I mean, they got, you know, but winning the lottery, some of them, you know, would say, well, I just started giving money to everybody without thinking about it, and before long, it was all gone, right? And they were bankrupt. Anyway.
相对的来说呢，如果好的事情发生在自己的身上呢，也不要过度的兴奋，要就是很用一种很平稳的态度来接受这种经验。举例来说呢，像有一些这个中了乐透奖的这些中奖的人，前一阵子在这也是一个有一个机会，这个赢很多很多的钱。那他这个电视上就报告了一个这个调查，就是差不多40%中了乐透奖的人呢，3年之内他们都等于说就是破产。这个是一个很奇怪的事情。那事实上就是有这样子的事情发生。那这种就是说对于这种好的事情临头在自己的身上呢，没有一个很正确的一种身心的态度来处理它的一个结果。
All right, now of course it takes practice to develop the ability to not get angry when bad things happen to us and to not get overly excited or elated when good things happen to us. It takes practice. We've had all the, the Buddhist idea is that we've had all these lifetimes, thousands and thousands of lifetimes to develop a big storehouse of karma of all sorts. It's going to take time to overcome that. Right, to train ourselves so that we're not completely under the control of that karma.
就是说，当然，对于这个怎么样这个适当的 处理对于自己面临的一些负面或正面的一些生活的经验，这个是需要修行的。一般如果没有经过这种修行的练习方法，不断的修行以后，不会很快的能够做到。
Now, all the aspects of the Eightfold Path are designed to help us do that. The one that I'd like to focus on the most, though, is right mindfulness. We've mentioned this before. Mindfulness means, in the Buddhist context, being aware of what's going on in the present moment as you are experiencing the present moment. Now, we do a lot of what's called present moment practice in Buddhism. If you go to a retreat up at DDRC, one thing they'll tell you to do, everybody will have a little job to do. And when you're doing your job, you're not really supposed to be trying to do the job as quickly as possible or anything like that. The purpose is really to be practicing keeping your mind on whatever you're doing. So say you have a simple job like wiping the tables, right, in the dining hall, right? Well, you should be trying to keep your mind actually on the feeling of wiping the table. What will happen is you'll feel that your mind wants to jump and start thinking about other things. Most of us have monkey minds, right? The monkey mind is the phrase for this. It doesn't want to stay on just this simple idea of doing this. It wants to think about, you know, something that happened in the past or something that might happen in the future. When you notice that that's happening with your mind, come back to the present moment. Because it's when your mind starts jumping like that that you end up getting vexed. And that's what leads you to cause bad karma for yourself and to cause suffering for others.
现在在进一步讲这个八圣道里面的我想要强调的就是镇定这一道。镇定里面讲的就是说我们对于这个我们自己的身心要练习到，就是各种身心上的起的一些反应，就是对于周遭事情在接触到周遭事情的身心上的一个反应，非常就是很正确的这个观察到。那这一点呢，就是说帮助我们在起心动念能够很正确的觉察到自己的起心动念的话呢，就不容易会进入到这个做一些贪嗔痴这样子的一种行为，因为能够很正确的当下看得很清楚自己身心的反应以后呢，能够用修行的方法能够做到这一点呢，就不会起烦恼，做出一些造一些不好的这个业报，同时也不会做一些伤害自己和伤害他人的事情。比如说像在我们在禅修的这个在这个我们去香港道场做这个禅修做这种参加禅修里面，每一个人都会分到一份工作。那这个目的呢，并不是说一定要想用这种最快的方法把这个工作做完，而是就是经由日常生活的工作里面，这个做这个自己分到的这一份工作，能够很认真的、很清楚的每一个自己身心在工作当下呢，知道自己的观察到自己的身心的反应。因为我们一般人我们的这个念头就像一个这个猴猿一样盘来盘去的，这个我们的念头很快的就会跑掉，让我们自己不能够很清楚的就注意到自己在当下。所以当我们的念头跑掉的时候，我们跟着跑了以后呢，我们如果没有办法察觉到的话，我们不知不觉下就会做出一些不好的一些行为还有决定。所以这个镇定这一道是非常非常的重要。
In our little story about the squabbling couple, they probably could have avoided a lot of the fighting if they'd been more mindful. You know, if you're, you know, when something happens and you feel a vexation starting to arise in your mind, that's when you have to step back and say, wait a minute, am I going to let this vexation dominate me? Am I going to be a slave to this feeling that's arising? Is it going to jerk me around as if it has a hook in my nose? Am I going to let it do that? Well, the answer should be, no, I don't want to let it do that. So I'm going to sit back and just watch, very calmly, watch the vexation as it arises and stays for a few moments and then fades away, because that's what it does. Remember, vexation is impermanent, along just like everything else.
就用一个这个夫妻，我们刚刚讲的这一对夫妻吵架的作为例子。如果他们有练习这个镇定的话呢，那当这个当这个先生听到这一句话的时候呢，他能够用镇定来看到自己身心的这个起的反应看到自己的嗔念起来了，那当下呢他就不做任何反应，就是很清楚的看到这个身心起了这样子嗔的这种反应，而不去再做进一步的一些反应的话呢，那这个身心的这一项反应呢，过一段时间也就会慢慢平复下来了。因为我们都知道，不管是任何世间的各种现象都是无常的，起了以后一段时间以后，慢慢它就会灭掉了。所以如果他能够练习这个八圣道里面的镇定呢，他们之间就不会再继续的做出一些伤害彼此之间的一些行为。
Okay, now Shifu then talks a little bit about the Buddha Dharma. It can help us on three levels. The first level is dealing with daily life situations.
那在这个小书里面呢，师父又讲到了，就是这个佛法能够帮助我们在生活上的在三个层次。第一个是帮助我们这日常生活上呢，怎么样应激，怎么样接物。
The second is eliminating vexations, which we've been talking about.
第二个呢是要教我们怎么样断除烦恼，这个我们刚刚已经提到了。
Now, most of your energies as a practitioner should really be focused on these two levels. That's where we are. That's where we're living, and that's where our lives are, and that's where most of our attention should be.
对于我们这个在家居士来说呢，这两项是我们要下更大功夫，或者是要特别注意的。这个就是。怎么样用佛法呢，在日常生活上怎么样应激，怎么样接物。第二个是怎么样运用佛法来断除我们的烦恼。
There is a third level, which is attaining Buddhahood. Okay? Please remember, in the Chan school, our belief is that all sentient beings have Buddha nature.The reason that this Buddha nature is not obvious to everybody all the time is that it's covered over by vexations, right? But that eventually all sentient beings, after they've eliminated vexation, will become Buddhas.
第三个层面呢，师父说这个佛法会让我们最终能够成佛。那这一项呢，我们大家都知道，所有的众生都是有佛性的。那因为没有办法像佛那样子，是因为我们被烦恼遮，我们的佛性被烦恼遮住了。那佛法就是要教我们如何能够除去这些烦恼。
All right, you should never forget that, but you should nonetheless spend most of your time dealing with your daily life situations and working on eliminating your vexations, because we're probably not going to become fully fledged Buddhas very soon. But that is what's going to happen ultimately. Okay.
所以这三点来讲呢，这前面的这两点是我们在家居士要花时间花功夫的。
All right, now we've got a few minutes left. I'm going to try to whip through the rest of this. I think we can maybe make it. Shifu talks about a sutra which is called the Singalaka Sutra in here. It's also called the Paying Homage to the Six Directions Sutra. It's a sutra from the very original Buddhist teachings in which it describes the responsibilities of the various members of a social network to each other. You know, this person should relate to this person in this way. This person should relate to that person in that way, and so on. Now, the types of people that it describes are parents, teachers, spouses.
这部小说里面师父提到的有一部经叫做《六方礼经》，那《六方礼经》呢提到的就是各种不同身份之间怎么样应对，就是一种伦理生活上的一种伦理，比如说夫妇，或者比如说父母、老师，或是朋友，还有自己的亲属，还有自己的这个下属。 这些就是不同的身份要之间要怎么样运对，怎么样沟通。
Okay, it's the types are parents, teachers, spouses, then also friends and relatives, servants and employees and monastics and accomplished practitioners. Now, well, the main thing to notice, you should read it. It's kind of interesting. I read it for this. It's an old sutra. It's kind of interesting, but you should realize when you're reading it, and you will, that it's based on a societal structure that is very different from ours today. Like, you know, when they talk about how the spouses relate to each other, it just assumes that the man is the breadwinner and the woman is the homemaker, right? You know, which isn't always true anymore in our society, right? So, you know, you'll see things like that in there. But what you should be focusing on in it is that if you look at the underlying principles of what of how they're talking about people relating to each other, it's basically a matter of trusting the other person and being trustworthy to the other person and having respect for what the other person is doing.
这部经当然，他提到那时候的社会跟我们现在这个社会有一些出入，所以他里面提出的一些关系，可能会对我们现在来讲呢，有点就是不像我们的社会跟当时的那个佛说的时候的那个社会是不一样的。比如说，那个社会是男人是在外面。 去工作，然后养自己的家人。那现在我们的现代社会呢，有的时候是女方她出去工作，然后养家人。所以这可是就是当你在这个读这部经的时候，你要知道这个当时的社会跟我们这边的社会不太一样。可是他的这个所讲的一些原理，讲的这些这个精神。 还是跟我们现代社会是有用，比如说，这个夫妻之间应该用什么样的这个相处，怎么样彼此怎么样建立这个信任，然后被信任这一些，你是对我们现在还是会有用的。
All right. Also, try to have a wholesome lifestyle. Follow the precepts, folks. They're part of the Eightfold Path. Right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Those are basically all referring to the precepts. The precepts, you know, try to follow them. Do your best, okay? Don't hurt other people for no good reason, okay?
再说就是要做一个生活上要做一个善业，生活的方式呢要用正业、正语。 正见，也就是八正道里面所提到的，就是我们要去尽自己的力量，能做到它。Okay,
try to associate with spiritual friends. That's what we are all here. You know, if you have a place like this that you can go to talk to people who are also interested in Buddhism, go there and talk to them. Try to make that part of your day-to-day experience.
还有就是要广结善知识，因为这些好的善友善知识会在我们这个修行的道路上对我们有很大的帮助。
Okay, stress responsibilities over rights. This is something that Shifu's interested in, and we all are. As you may know, in our society here in the United States, there's a big emphasis on rights, you know, the rights of the individual and so on, and people are always on the lookout for ways in which their rights are being abridged. Shifu thinks that maybe that's a little bit overdone in our society. Not that it's not important at all, but it's maybe a little bit overdone. And there should be more focus on, think about your responsibilities to others. If you look at the Singalaka Sutra, it talks about, you know, the responsibilities you have to these other people. If you can fulfill all those responsibilities, your life will be better.
还有就是，对自己在什么身份上所要做到的一些义务，去要，就是要特别去注意它，对自己的这个权利呢，稍微要，不要这么执着，这个跟现在的这个一般西方人的这个强调，就是自己的权利啊，是很重要的，是啊，师父，他在这本小书里面强调，就是说，六方礼经里面所说的这个精神，就是说，我们站在什么角度上，我们要把自己的这个角度的义务上，责任啊，要做得很好。这样子的话呢，我们就生活上就会比较不会对自己制造出更多的一些烦恼，也做出一些伤害别人的事情。
All right, last thing, don't dwell on negative feelings. At the end of the pamphlet, Shifu gives a couple of examples of people who lost their jobs and for various reasons, one of whom was pretty obviously treated badly by his previous employer. It was a pretty bad situation. But the person, Shifu said, the person didn't display, you know, hatred or negativity towards those people. He basically just was putting that aspect of his life behind him and moving into the future with a mind that was not vexed and open to new experience and so on. And sure enough, he got another good job very, very soon after that. Now, some of you have heard, this is all part of Shifu's basic teaching about how to deal with bad problems that arise. It's face it, accept it, deal with it, but then put it down. The last thing you want to do is put the negativity away. It's gone. It's not in my life anymore. If you sit around, everybody knows this, even if you're not a Buddhist. I mean, I know every psychologist will tell you, you don't want to sit around for the rest of your life thinking about how badly you were treated by somebody, you know, in your previous job. Hey, that's not going to be a healthy life. You know, it just isn't. I think we all know that. So Buddhist practice can help you to put things like that away. Get rid of it. It's gone. Okay? It was bad karma, but I've paid back a karmic debt is the one way to think about that. When that bad thing happened, well, I paid back a karmic debt. So I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm going to move into the future with a positive attitude and try to do my best.
最后师父提到就是说，当我们面临这个日常生活的时候，不管是什么经验，尤其是不好的经验呢，我们就要面对它，处理它，接受它，面对它，接受它，处理它，然后放下它。这样子的话，我们就不会再制造这个不好的这个业，然后呢，当我们面临不好的这个经验的时候呢，我们知道怎么样正确态度能够处理它，然后再继续的有一个正面的生活，这样子就不会制造一些对自己制造烦恼，对他人做一些不好的行为。
Okay, that's it. Thank you very much for coming. I hope it helped you some, and I'm sorry we ran over a little bit. Okay.
今天就讲到这里，谢谢大家。抱歉，过了时间。